The Drum Corps History Podcast, episode 45. The Drum Corps History Podcast, a deeper look into Drum Corps history. This week's episode, The Madison Scouts, Part 2. Welcome back to the Drum Corps History Podcast. My name is Ron Allard from Dice Man Radio. The following information comes in part from an article written by Dan Guernsey and Robert Pilot for A History of Drum and Bugle Corps, Volume 2, published by Steve Vickers of Drum Corps World. In 1972, the Scout Show recreated some of the most memorable events that shaped Old Glory's destiny. They also featured various historical flags of our country. The Scouts failed to make finals at the first DCI Championship, placing 14th in the preliminary competition. For 1973, it was the year of a major image change. To overcome the relapse of 72, the Corps created a new style that was contemporary, fast-moving, and extremely powerful. The Corps invigorated its new image by reviving the big band classic from the 1962 show, Ballet and Brass. Madison reinforced its spirited image with God Bless the Child, a tune that many consider to be the quintessential Scout song of the 1970s. Indeed, the Corps' 1973 show established what Scouts alumni fondly celebrate as the Corps' enduring identity, the Madison Green Gods. The newfound esprit de corps in 1973 continued unabated for nearly 30 years, including the great championship corps of 75 and 78. The new image was largely the creation of James Elvord, a Scouts alumnus and DCI Hall of Fame horn instructor of the Corps. Elvord, in effect, created a new Madison style by translating the Corps' traditional crowd appeal into a fresh contemporary sound, fast, hard-driving, and breathtaking. Moreover, Elvord's remake of the Scouts was inspired in part by one of the greatest horn lines of the 1960s, Colonel Truman Crawford's Chicago Royal Airs. Uniform changes also enhanced the new image, as white Aussie hats, gauntlets, and braided sashes were added to the traditional Explorer Scout uniform. The Scouts also featured a rifle line for the first time. The new identity achieved impressive results. Madison attained its highest ranking in 14 years, a fourth-place finish at the DCI Championships. They also captured their first brass trophy. Under the instruction of Baumgard and Elvord, the Scouts' horn line dominated the brass caption from 1973 to 1975. The success of the 73 season fulfilled Howard's vision of making the Madison Scouts once again a national powerhouse, a status the Corps had not enjoyed since the 1950s. Thus, in 1973, the Scouts were fully reborn. Glory and heartbreak were combined in 1974. The Scouts won nearly all the major titles they sought. Sadly, the DCI title escaped them and they placed second. However, the Corps chalked up 20 first-place finishes out of 25 contests. Madison never placed lower than second, the best record of any major Corps. Despite the disappointing loss at DCI, Elvord's horn line went undefeated, capturing its second consecutive DCI brass trophy. In addition to ballet and brass and God Bless the Child, the 1974 Scouts strengthened their potent image with Slaughter on 10th Avenue, another Scouts classic of the 1970s. The Scouts were recognized for their excellence by becoming the first Corps invited to represent the United States at the prestigious International Festival of Youth Orchestras and Performing Arts in Great Britain. The season also marked the Madison Scouts' first hockey program. The first official DCI yearbook was written and designed by Madison members, and for the first time a woman, Jean Beckman, served as chairperson of the board of directors for this all-male corps. Keyboard instruments in the form of xylophones and bells were reintroduced after having not been used since 1962. The year of the Scouts was 1975. Madison had at last achieved the title of DCI champion. They did it in undisputed style, going nearly undefeated for the season, losing only at DCI Midwest prelims. The powerhouse show featured Slaughter on 10th Avenue, MacArthur Park, Rhapsody in Blue, Dueling Banjo's drum solo, and The Way We Were. On the same night, Madison's horn line was awarded the high brass trophy for the third straight year. The 1976 Corps put everything it had into keeping the DCI title, but show design problems kept them out of contention in the first half of the season. The defunct show included Shaft, a marching version of MacArthur Park, a disco drum solo called Pick Up the Pieces, and Mahogany. In a desperate attempt to shoot for the top, the staff decided to scrap the entire show during the Corps' Western tour. The new show revived the championship glories of 75, but replaced Slaughter with Stars and Stripes Forever and the Dueling Banjos drum solo with Ease On Down the Road. While on the Western tour, Corps members learned the new music by day on the bus while performing the old show at night. When the Corps returned to Madison in early July, the scouts pulled out of all their mid-season shows and went into a three-week marathon camp to learn the new drill and clean the entire show. No Corps had ever attempted such a complete overhaul to win the national championship. The scouts nearly pulled it off, placing second at DCI's. However, the cost was high, as many staff and marching members quit due to burnout at the end of the season. In the 70s, the scouts continued to face financial problems as the economic climate became more demanding. By the mid-70s, running a drum and bugle corps had become a full-time job. In 1977, Scott Stewart became the first full-time director. He marched with the scouts from 68 to 74 and served as staff member on the 75-76 season. The 77 staff was composed of eager alumni. Despite the lack of experience, the Corps was able to maintain its level of excellence and place sixth at DCI's. In 1978, the scouts built on the experience of 77 and produced one of their finest corps to date. For the first time since 1975, the Corps defeated every major competitor and captured fourth place at an exciting championship in Denver. Frustrating is probably the best way to describe the 1979 season. The Madison Scouts entered the season with a talented core and a show that was designed to compete with the California Powers. Although it was well accepted by the crowd, it was panned by the judging community and questionable revisions were made. The core dominated competition until mid-season, but it was all downhill from there. The final outcome was 8th place. True to form, the Scouts bounced back from the disappointments of 79 and charged into the 1980 season. The Corps toured the United States and Canada and appeared more frequently than in recent years in their hometown. Madison captured several national titles and placed 6th in a hotly contested DCI championship. That was also the year the development of an almost complete alumni staff became a reality. Howard stepped down as executive director, and Stewart, who had already taken on the responsibilities of program director after the previous season, replaced Howard. The 1981 Scouts dominated competitively for most of the season, chalking up 24 first places, 6 seconds, and 3 thirds. The judges didn't see eye to eye with the Corps or the crowd coming down the stretch, and the result was 3rd place. summer of 1981 was also the year percussion equipment was first allowed to be grounded on the front sideline and the pit was born. On the business side, a booster club was established and the Madison Scouts Foundation became a productive entity. In 1982, the Corps placed fifth at DCI and featured an incredibly talented dancing color guard. The guard uniform was slightly altered to enhance the dance image, and this proved to be a tasteful change. After years of effort, the Corps finally established a successful bingo game. Bingo, performance fees, and souvenir sales became major income generators for the Corps. In 1983, Madison presented a complex and demanding program that proved difficult to perfect. The Scouts rose to the occasion with an incredible performance at championships. The Guard was awarded the Best Color Guard Trophy. At the finale, Madison surprised everyone by taking the field with no equipment and singing "You'll Never Walk Alone" to the crowd. The Corps made a major uniform change in 1983, which consisted of a white Eisenhower-style jacket, green pants, mint-green shirts, and white and red accessories. A semi-trailer equipment truck was purchased to accommodate the ever-increasing amount of equipment the Corps needed. Membership in the Corps reached the average age of 20, an all-time high. Only 12 members were under 18 and 34 aged out at season's end. The 1984 season was one of continued growth in all areas. The Corps set new standards in the activity with its positive approach and healthy philosophy. It was rediscovering that education and social development, as well as performance level, were the top priorities of the organization. On the competitive side, the Corps held its position in the top five in a year that produced five of the greatest drum corps of all time. Only 2.4 points separated these groups at the championships. Financially, the Scouts became a phenomenon in the drum corps world by eliminating all of their debt and operating with a positive cash flow. The 1985 season was a banner year in the history of the Scouts. Not only was the Corps spectacular in performance and successful in competition, but it also received long-deserved publicity and attention. Much of this was due to DCI being held at Camp Randall Stadium. This proved to be the most successful championships in the history of DCI, with much credit going to the local Madison committee. More than 100,000 people attended the six-day event, including prelims, the parade, and finals. The Corps was also enhanced its reputation by appearing locally with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra and at the Badger State Games. The uniform change was revised. White jackets, green pants to white jackets, green pants, and the accessories were brightened. A mutually beneficial relationship with the Yamaha Corporation of America was started. The Corps also took another step forward in its financial security plan and established an equipment reserve for future capital purchases through its foundation. DCI returned to Madison in 1986. In surveys, the Scouts continued to be rated as the most popular drum corps in the activity by fans and show sponsors. Camp Randall Stadium hosted a Green Bay Packers game for the first time, and the Madison Scouts were the featured halftime entertainment on the Sunday before DCI. In 1987, the Scouts completed their two-year capital fund drive and raised more than $180,000 for the purchase of replacement coaches. These vehicles gave Madison the distinction of owning some of the newest buses in the activity. The DCI World Championships returned to Madison for an unprecedented third year due to the incredible success of the first two. In a year that featured possibly the strongest group of DCI finalists ever, the Scouts landed a hard-fought sixth place. The Corps continued its summer tour schedule, traveling more than 10,000 miles in 8 weeks. The Scouts made more than 50 appearances in contests, exhibitions, concerts, clinics, and parades. In the off-season, appearances included the Governor's Inauguration, the Madison Holiday Parade, and the annual spring open house that had been started in 1983. The 1988 season will certainly go down in history as one of the Corps' greatest years. Not only did the Scouts celebrate a very special 50th anniversary, but also successfully completed a spectacular 16-day tour of Europe and also captured the DCI title. At the 1989 finals, the Corps was, as usual, one of the crowd's favorites, but ended up in seventh place in a group of seven championship-caliber corps. The major disappointment of the season was that because of political maneuvering, the Scouts were not allowed to appear last in finals as defending champions, breaking a tradition that had lasted for decades. Drums on Parade was held at Camp Randall Stadium for the first time, and the Scouts also began their long-term relationship with the First United Methodist Church. Each spring, a special service is written and features a performance by the Corps. In 1990, the Scouts traveled more land miles and toured longer than they had ever done before. Every area of the country except the Northwest and Southeast was visited. The Corps took its first trip to the West Coast since 1976 and survived the rainiest second tour in memory. All of this was accomplished smoothly and with virtually no vehicle breakdowns, a positive indication of how far the organization had advanced. The Alumni Project began generating significant financial support. The corporate name was changed to the Madison Drum and Bugle Corps Association, Incorporated, taking out the word Scouts. The 1991 Scouts thrilled audiences everywhere they appeared with another well-conceived, exciting program. Rehearsals continued to be held at East High School in the winter and Camp Randall Stadium and Lafayette High School in the summer. Out-of-area members lived at the Regent dormitories when not on tour. In Drum Corps Midwest, seven of the directors of the top 23 corps were alumni of the Madison Scouts. Building on the successes of previous years, Madison received nothing but rave reviews from the very first show in 1992. Their finals performance at the DCI Championship in their hometown was nothing less than sensational. Much capital equipment was purchased in the early 1990s, including a custom staff vehicle, a cook truck, a promotions vehicle, and an equipment trailer. The outfitting of the brass section with three-valve bugles, which had been approved in 1990, was also completed. The illness and death of longtime cooking crew chief Ollie Mae Banks saddened the whole organization. The 1993 Corps performed more than 60 times while on its way to Jackson, Mississippi for the championships. In Jackson, Madison performed brilliantly despite a driving rainstorm. Madison is still the only Corps to claim the dubious distinction of being rained on during DCI finals. The Corps continued to attract applicants from throughout the United States and from a number of foreign countries. Australia joined England, Scotland, Japan, the Netherlands, and Canada as countries that produced members of the Madison Scouts. 48 members, an all-time high, successfully participated in DCI solo and ensemble competition. The Corps produced a 2-volume compact disc through the years, which traced the musical history of the Scouts from the early 50s through 1992. The summer of 1994 saw the Scouts reach yet another level of excellence in the development of their unique philosophy and their approach to show design. The program elicited standing ovations at every stop along the tour that took the Corps to the West Coast, the East Coast, and just about everywhere in between. In 1995, the Scouts featured a completely Spanish-flavored program subtitled The Drum Corps Fan's Dream. The show featured an incredible array of effects designed to drive audiences wild. Madison delivered one absolutely spectacular performance after another, and the crowd responded with appreciation, admiration, and unbridled emotion. The 1996 and 1997 Scouts added fuel to the fire they had started in 1995 by presenting A Drum Corps Fan's Dream, Part Dos, and The Pirates of Lake Mendota. The DCI Championships took place in Orlando, Florida both years, and the Scouts were featured in special performances on the main stage at Epcot Center during DCI Week. Madison received the Spirit of Disney Award at the 96 and 97 Saturday Night Finals, citing the Corps for being the most creative and entertaining group of the evening. When the score for Madison was announced each year, the surprised and disappointed crowd reacted with booing, but followed it with standing ovations so boisterous and persistent that the announcer was unable to continue. The Madison Scouts celebrated their 60th anniversary in 1998. After overwhelming the crowds in 97 with Pirates of Lake Mandota and burning down stadiums in 95 and 96 with hot Latin-flavored shows, the Corps explored a new direction in 1998. The production, dubbed Power, Pizzazz, and All That Jazz, presented an all-jazz program that featured three very different approaches to the jazz medium. The 1999 production was based on the music of Jesus Christ Superstar by Andrew Lloyd Webber. The Corps did not attempt to follow the storyline of the original work. Instead, the scouts presented fresh arrangements coupled with exciting visual interpretation of the feelings evoked by the music. It is impossible to think of the scouts in the DCI age without giving credit to Scott Stewart. Stewart emerged over the years as a single common uniting influence over the wondrous legacy that became the Madison Scouts. The philosophy he developed in Madison spread to the whole of Drum Corps, and the Scouts, as much as any corps could be, became America's Drum Corps. Stewart's single-minded devotion to the concept of entertainment endeared him to drum corps purists, but he began to find drum corps had turned into a new and different direction, one that he felt didn't serve the best interests of the activity, and one that was dragging drum corps away from the fans to some misguided notion of abstract art. Stewart spoke against it often and with passion. Like many men who came to brilliant prominence, after a time he saw his influence wane, and his scouts, still wedded to the concept of fans first, declined in placing. True to his ideals, Stewart paid no attention and unswervingly led his corps to show after show designed around the fan, and the fans appreciated it. In the summer of 2002, the impossible occurred. In their own hometown, the scouts saw their streak come to an abrupt and unexpected end, and for the first time in 29 years, DCI Finals went on without the Madison Scouts. As in many instances in the world, when the unthinkable happens, change is warranted. Stewart stepped aside in the fall of 2002, and in doing so, ushered in the next generation of leadership who now take over the task of preserving the national treasure that is the Madison Scouts. That concludes this week's episode on the Madison Scouts Part 2. Please join us again next time as we take a deeper look into Drum Corps history. This podcast is produced and sponsored by DiceManRadio.com.